Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about hurricanes so powerful, they need a new category, bacteria linked to young-onset colorectal cancer, and ancient treasures made out of meteorites.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity.
The National Hurricane Center has used the Saffir-Simpson wind scale for over 50 years to categorize the potential power a hurricane has to inflict damage. As most of us know already, and as we've talked about on this show in the past, the scale goes from a Cat 1 hurricane, or the weakest, all the way up to a Cat 5, with wind speeds over 158 miles per hour.
If I recall correctly, the reason we've talked about the Saffir-Simpson wind scale is because climate change is fueling more rapid intensification, where storms basically go from tropical storm level to explosive Category 5 hurricane in a matter of hours.
Yeah, as the oceans and the atmosphere heat up, they are able to hold more energy and more moisture. These storms suck up all that heat from the oceans and use it as fuel to power their devastating winds and rain. Now, here's a crazy fact. Imagine the amount of electricity that the entire planet can generate. Well, winds from a single hurricane can whip up about half that amount.
Wait, one storm can produce the same amount of energy as half the planet, basically?
Well, that's just the winds. The clouds and the rain produced by the storm can release a whopping 400 times that much energy.
Okay. I mean, that's hard to imagine. And because of climate change, they're only getting stronger, right?
That is why a team of researchers has recently suggested that there might be cause to adjust the Saffir-Simpson wind scale to make way for a sixth category.
Yikes. Okay, so is a Category 6 hurricane even possible?
Not only is it possible, according to their research, if such a category existed, five storms in the last decade would have already met that criteria.
Okay, so why haven't they created a Category 6 yet?
Well, it has to do with the scale itself. It was developed not just to represent wind speeds, it was made to help people understand the kinds of risks associated with certain storms. So a Cat 1 will produce some damage and very dangerous winds. Category 2's winds are extremely dangerous and will cause extensive damage. Damage from a Cat 3 will be devastating, and both Category 4 storms and Category 5's will see catastrophic damage. But with a 5, you can expect the area hit to be uninhabitable for weeks or months.
I didn't actually realize the categories were associated with specific damage potentials.
Right. Well, obviously, wind speed helps determine that. But while categories 1 through 4 have a low end and a high end, there's no upper limit to a Category 5. A hurricane in that category is just anything above 157 miles per hour.
Okay, I think I see where you're going with this. Maybe in the past, it was inconceivable that hurricanes would go high enough above that wind speed to warrant a sixth category, but now...
Oof, yeah, literally the sky's the limit. They looked at storms between 1980 and 2021. The five that would qualify as a Category 6 all had wind speeds above 192 miles per hour, and they all happened within the last decade.
I can't imagine the kind of damage something like that could do.
Well, that's the problem. Communities might build to withstand the most powerful storms they typically see, but climate change is producing storms more powerful than they can even imagine. And according to this study, with 2 degrees Celsius of warming, places like the Philippines and the Gulf of Mexico will see double the risk of storms that would fit into that sixth category.
So is a Category 6 going to be the new thing?
They aren't necessarily suggesting a change to the scale, but they think it's important to begin to reconsider how the current scale could leave people underprepared for what's coming.
I mean, as the climate changes, I guess the way we describe it needs to reflect that change as well. There is a medical crisis brewing with young people, and scientists aren't exactly sure what to make of it. But there has been an alarming increase in what's called young-onset colorectal cancer incidence and mortality.
I have heard about this, actually. So more and more young people are developing these cancers that are, generally thought to mostly affect older people.
Yeah, it's one of those things that doctors don't even recommend screening for until you hit 45. But over the past decade or so, the rates of colorectal cancer have been climbing by 1.5% and the mortality rate by 1.2%. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but if this holds up, the rates for colon cancer could double and the incidence of rectal cancer could quadruple by 2030.
Okay, so what's going on here? Like, why is this happening?
There is a lot of research going into this, as you can imagine, and a new study has found something that might kind of be a clue, and that's namely bacteria.
I'm assuming it's a specific kind of bacteria.
It is. All the bacteria and viruses and fungi and all the tiny creatures that live in our gut and our bodies make up our microbiome. It's so massive, around 100 trillion microbes from 5,000 different species, that it's considered by some to be its own organ.
Right. And I know that the connection between the gut microbiome and our general health, even our mental health, isn't all that well understood yet.
Oh, definitely not. So the researchers in the study have used gene sequencing tech to analyze tissue samples from over 130 patients with young onset colorectal cancer and compared those to around 140 patients who are more aligned with the typical age group.
Got it. So they compared the genes in the tissue from young patients to their older counterparts.
Right, and they found something really intriguing. The younger patients had significant amounts of a couple of specific bacteria, one called Acromantia and another called Bacteroides.
And these bacteria were associated with the cancers?
They were associated with the tumors, yes. And not only that, they found the young patients were more likely to have left-sided, rectal, and advanced state tumors than their older counterparts.
So do they think that this bacteria is the cause?
They can't take it that far just yet, but this is still a huge deal. Not only are young onset patients more likely to have these specific tumors, but being able to identify the specific bacteria could lead to new screening techniques and treatment targets.
And if bacteria and the microbiome is involved, perhaps that would indicate there's a link to diet. That bacteria came from somewhere, right?
That's the next step. They need more research into lifestyle factors, things like diet, the kind of medications young people take, obesity rates, and their impact on gut bacteria. It's certainly possible that these factors could contribute to the rise in young onset colorectal cancer.
Knowing the source of the problem inches us closer to knowing how to cure it, right?
Pretty much.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In 1963, archaeologists on a dig near the town of Viena, Spain, uncovered a treasure.
Ooh, I love a good archaeological dig story. So what was this treasure?
It was literally treasure. They found 59 objects made of gold, silver, iron, and amber, nearly 10 kilograms of just actual treasure. There were gorgeous golden bowls, rings, bottles, a lot of bracelets. It's actually quite stunning.
Cool. Okay, so whose treasure was it?
That's still a bit of a mystery, because the artifacts date back some 3,000 years to the Bronze Age. It's said to be the most significant find of prehistoric gold on the Iberian Peninsula, the second most significant in all of Europe. But researchers recently noticed something special about these artifacts. After a new study, it turns out their origins are even wilder than scientists first believed.
Wait a second. We have a 3,000-year-old treasure trove full of gold and silver with a mysterious origin? Where could this have possibly have come from?
Space.
Okay, now you're just messing with me.
All right. It's not as sci-fi as I just made it sound. Along with those other precious metals, the artifacts contain iron. And iron back in those days was also incredibly valuable, and metalworkers of the day would have had to really innovate new techniques to use it. And one of the reasons it was so valuable is because it wasn't so easy to mine.
Ah, but some meteorites contain iron.
Bingo. Using mass spectrometry, the researchers figured out that the iron used in these artifacts had a nickel composition consistent with meteoric iron. And that makes them the first known artifacts made of meteoric iron on the Iberian Peninsula.
The first? You mean other ancient people used meteorites in their tools?
Oh, absolutely. And if you think about it, it makes sense. The technology to get terrestrial iron or iron from the Earth, I mean, it's easy for us, but it's actually pretty complicated. It's usually in the form of iron oxide and has to be extracted from the ores around it and then smelted. But iron in meteorites was just iron.
Got it. So it's like the iron literally fell from the sky, ready to be worked with.
Exactly. And knowing that the Bronze Age people who crafted the Vienna treasure were using meteorites gets us one step closer to understanding their metalworking technology and shines even a little light on who they were. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. As ocean temperatures rise, a team of climate scientists have proposed adding a Category 6 to the hurricane scale after finding that the most intense storms are outstripping the current Category 5.
Researchers have discovered a link between distinct bacterial signatures and tumors to the alarming rise of young-onset colorectal cancer, paving the way for potentially revolutionary new treatments and screening methods.
Recent studies on the Bronze Age Vienna treasure in Spain have unveiled that among its gold and silver artifacts, some were remarkably crafted from meteoric iron.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.